inflation, not just for balloons. It's Home Economics on 95BFM with Rupert Carline of Coda Wealth.
Morena, Rupert, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Have a nice weekend?
Great weekend. How about you girls?
Very good. Yes, yeah, it was really good. Nice weekend. Hey, we've had some big texts in, as we do, about what's going on economically for all of our listeners at the moment. So we're going to jump straight into it. Someone said, what takes priority, paying off my mortgage or putting money into my KiwiSaver, and do I have to pick one or the other?
I had this exact same conversation with my sister yesterday. the answer is you don't need to prioritise one over the other.
Cool.
My suggestion to people is you should be putting your 3% into your mortgage, into your KiwiSaver at all times. Mm-hmm. So you can get your government contribution and you can also get your employer contribution. Yeah. Take advantage of the free money that KiwiSaver gives you. If you want to put aside more money than that to invest, I think you need to think hard about, first priority would be getting your mortgage to a sustainable level. Like all of us, we go to the bank, we get our first home deposit, first home mortgage, and it's kind of terrifying, right? It's a large balance. We know that we're scared about it. If you can get that paid down to a level where you're comfortable, where you kind of know if you took a pay cut, it wouldn't cause you a huge issue. If you lost your job for a couple of months, it wouldn't be a huge issue. That would be what I call a sustainable level. Mm. And then at that point, you can start thinking about potentially investing more in your KiwiSaver or doing something else. The honest truth is, at the moment, mortgage rates at 2.5%, 3%. You would expect to earn over the long run if you were to invest somewhere in the range of 4% to 5%. So mathematically, you should be doing investments if you can, but don't kind of max out your mortgage to do it. Make sure your mortgage is sitting there at a sustainable level such that things can go wrong before you start to think about doing that.
Sounds like sensible advice then. We've got one which I'm not assuming it's a student, but I feel like I relate to this because it happened to me as a student. I need to buy a new laptop because mine broke. Mine broke the week before my honours dissertation was due.
No.
Not very fun. It was fine in the end, though. Is it best to get a credit card to do this? If so, what should I be looking for in choosing one to get? What are your thoughts on that?
Credit cards, in my view, are a no-no. Credit cards are very expensive. They come with most of them have a high upfront fee. They also all come with very expensive interest rates, and it's just not a form of financing that you want to go near. And so therefore, if it is a student, my strong suggestion would be, I hate to say this, but make do with the computers in the library. I assume there still are libraries, given it's a long time since I was here.
Yeah.
But try and pay up front. You can use Afterpay or Laybuy or one of those mechanics to kind of pay over 4 or 5 months. But at the end of the day, credit cards are bad, and just don't go there.
This is almost a perfect segue into our next question, because someone said, what is the deal with these new payment schemes, like Afterpay or Laybuy, as you just mentioned, where you pay off purchases interest-free? Are they okay to use? And yeah, should you be laybuying things if you can't afford it?
I think they're better than credit cards because they do have the interest free. They do spread the payments out over a couple of months rather than just needing to be paid up front. But at the end of the day, you still need to afford it, right? Mm. At the end of the day, you will be paying that money back over the next few months. It's not a bad form of financing, but it's just making sure you don't get trapped afterwards, because otherwise, if you can't make the repayments, you will end up getting charged pretty heinous interest rates on the way through at the end. In terms of, is it a bad thing? No, I don't think so. In my view, it's better than credit cards because it doesn't have the interest rate attached. Just be careful that you're not over indebting yourself on the way through.
We've had a dentistry related question here. I'm avoiding going to the dentist because it's so expensive. Should I be putting money aside for this or get health insurance?
It's a great question, actually. I haven't been to the dentist for about 10 years.
We had this conversation in the office last week as well, and everyone was like, yeah, I'm sort of in that boat as well.
Look, I think I think health insurance is a hard one. For a lot of pre-existing conditions, you're unlikely to get coverage. So if you've already got wisdom teeth issues, or if you've already got something there, then health insurance potentially doesn't help you. And to have a full-blown health insurance that covers you for all of the annual dental and all of those things, it can get quite expensive. But I think the answer is you need to save. And so what we say to people is, you should always be trying to have 3 months worth of salary or 3 months worth of expenses saved up and available to you for all of these little bits and pieces. So there's always something that comes up, right? Whether it be a dentist, whether it be a car that kind of needs a warrant and then doesn't get the warrant or whatever. So my suggestion is always try your best to have that little bit of extra money sitting there in a savings account so that when these unexpected things come up, you've got the money there. The one thing I think any dentist will tell you is if you just avoid the problem, it's only going to make the bill far larger when you finally get there.
I think that's probably very wise, yes. And very last thing we've got, speaking of saving, is I'm saving for my first home. Should I be saving myself as well as KiwiSaver, or should I put it all into my KiwiSaver? Does that mean saving? I think that means saving for themselves, not like saving myself.
Oh, no, I think it's a really good question because you can do two things, right? You can either top it all up into your KiwiSaver or you can put a little bit in a savings account, a little bit through some other investments. And I think there is no single answer. It depends a little bit on who you are. If you're very good with finances, you might want to set up a couple of other investment funds and investment accounts using InvestNow or Sharesies. But if you just want it to be really simple, really easy, and you want to earn a little bit more than you earn in the bank, then KiwiSaver is a pretty good mechanic to do that. If you are going to use your KiwiSaver though, and also if you're going to choose investment funds, just make sure you understand what type of fund you're getting yourself into.
Right.
What you can't, if you're kind of, and then probably less than 3 or 4 years away from buying a house, it's critical that you're not sitting in a growth fund because otherwise you potentially, when the market changes and there's a downturn in the market, then you're going to lose a decent chunk of your house deposit. And that's no different whether you're in a growth fund, whether you're in an investment fund, or whether you own shares directly. And unfortunately, far too many people found this out in the middle of COVID.
Ah, true. Okay.
Yeah.
That is very good
to
know.
So you're better off being in a...
conservative fund.
Right. Cool.
So suggestion would be, even if you don't choose Cotter as your provider, come and have a look on our website. And what we've got is we've got a tool that will help you determine what type of fund you need to be in based on how long away your house purchasing decision is. And I think that's the most important decision you'll make. Far more important around who your provider is or how much your fees, etc., is just making sure you get the right risk appetite there.
Fantastic. Ooh.
It's helpful.
Yeah, it is very helpful. I mean, I'm not looking to buy a house any time soon, but good advice for that texter. Thank you very much, Rupert.
My pleasure.
If you guys have got questions about money, text them through to 5395 and we will put them to Rupert this time next week. See you then.
That's Money, Home Economics on 95 BFM.